All right. My name is Cammy Stone. Name change a few years ago. I'm not the pastor. I'm on the preaching team. We have a whole team of people that preach here. So if this is the first time you're visiting or your second time, you still have more people to get to know. And so if you don't like today, come back next week because it'll be somebody different. We love you. Mwah. And your singing is anointed and beautiful, and please do it more. Please, please do it more. Like, get confident, go for it. It's awesome. I'm going to be reading out of Hebrews 13, 10 through 16. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. So open up your Bibles or your Bible apps, or if you don't have either of those, they're going to put the scriptures up there. I gave it to them. They've got it. We're good. A little bit of context about Hebrews. We don't know who the author of the book of Hebrews was. Some say it was Paul. It doesn't really match the styles or the way that Paul wrote his other letters. Some say it was Apollos. We don't know. Some say it was Barnabas. I don't know where they got that from. We know that whoever wrote it, they were in Rome at the time because they said, the Italians here send their greetings to you. We know that it was written to Jews that were Christians because in it, it talks a lot about the Jewish traditions, the Jewish temple. And so it would have to be someone that was familiar writing to the Jews that were familiar with what they did in the habits, the traditions that they had in the temple. And the Christians of this time, the Jewish and the non-Jewish Christians, the Gentile Christians, were being persecuted. And so there was a temptation at the time to give up the faith in Jesus because it was hard. They were being persecuted. They were being cast out. They were being stoned. They were being thrown in jail. And so this book, in it encourages the Christians to stay with the faith. This is why we believe what we believe and why it's worth going through all this. And so it compares and contrasts the old system of Jewish faith to the new system under Jesus and how we deal with sin to the new system, meaning Jesus, okay? So turn with me to Hebrews 13. We're going to read 10 through 16. We feast on a sacrifice at our spiritual altar, but those who serve as priests in the old system of worship have no right to eat of it. For the high priest carries the blood of animals in the holiest chamber as a sacrifice for sin, and then burns the bodies of the animals outside the city. And Jesus, our sin sacrifice, also suffered death outside the walls to make us holy by his own blood. So we must arise and join him outside the religious walls and bear his disgrace. Over the last few weeks, we believed for something that wasn't popular because in this country, we haven't seen it happen. We believed for a resurrection of a dead person. And I don't know about you guys, but people thought we were a little crazy. It was a little strange. I have a Bible study that I attend in my neighborhood, and some of the ladies, when I told them what we were believing for, because I was bold in my faith and I won 100% believed with all of my being that it was going to happen because Jesus said these signs will follow them who believe. And I'm not going to limit God to my experience. I'm not going to limit him to what I've seen and what I know, but I'm going to believe him for what he says. And he said it more than once. He didn't just say it once. He said it more than once, these signs will believe and go out and make disciples and pray for the sick and deliver those from demons and raise the dead. And so I believed him. But then I got some weird looks from some people. And I mean, that's not real persecution, but in our day and age, it's kind of persecution. I mean, okay, it's not a stone. It's not a whip. I wasn't thrown in jail. I mean, you know, what they were going through in Rome and in Jerusalem. But it is a certain of you lose your reputation. You know, there's a little ding to your status, to your reputation. And so we have to be willing. God is calling us to be willing that we would step outside the walls of religion and bear his disgrace. He taught an unpopular message. So unpopular, they nailed him to a tree, to a cross. That's how unpopular it was. I mean, talk about a disruptor, Jeremy. You're in good company. He disrupted the system. And so that's where he's calling us to go and bear his disgrace. Verse 14, for we have no city here on earth to be our permanent home, but we seek the city that is destined to come. So we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifices, but through Jesus, we will offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. That celebrate, that's what we were doing this morning. We were celebrating his name. We were celebrating him. We don't celebrate our circumstances. We don't celebrate our experience. We don't celebrate what's happening necessarily here. Now, I mean, when I got engaged, we all celebrated. And when I finally got married, it was a celebration. My parents' blood pressure actually went down after I got married, and they were able to go off their medications. That's how much they celebrated. I mean, it was a celebration. I'm not saying we don't ever celebrate anything here. But we celebrate his name. In verse 16, we will show mercy to the poor and not miss an opportunity to do acts of kindness for others, for these are the true sacrifices that delight God's heart. Verse 17 is just a bonus. Obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. So it will benefit you when you make their work a pleasure and not a heavy burden. That's right. I threw that one in just for you. Don't be a heavy burden, people. Come on. So right now, both as individuals and as a corporate body, we have an opportunity to give something to God on this earth that we will not be able to give him in heaven. We will not. There are some limits to heaven. Believe it or not, there's some limits to heaven. And we have an opportunity to give something to God right now that we will not be able to give to him in heaven. And that's a sacrifice of praise. See, in heaven, it won't be hard to praise him. Like, it won't be hard up there. In Revelations 21:4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and eliminate death entirely. No one will mourn or weep any longer. The pain of wounds will no longer exist, for the old order has ceased. See, in heaven, we won't need faith or trust. Because in heaven, we will know him and be fully known. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete right now. But one day, I will understand everything and be fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. See, to have faith means that there's something unsure, that there's something unknown. So when God gives us a promise, you know, he gives you a promise of healing, he gives you a promise of a spouse, he gives you a promise of a baby, he gives you a promise of prosperity. Whenever you have it, you don't need faith. It's only when you don't have it that you need that bridge of faith. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we don't need faith in heaven because we'll see everything. We'll have everything. See, trust is only required when there's a lack of understanding. When there is something out of our grasp or out of our control, it's when another person or another party, like God's not a person, but another party's involved, that it requires a certain vulnerability and a certain courage. See, we don't need trust in heaven. because everything is fully known. Everything is fully seen. But here now, we must shore up our faith and trust in Jesus, that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do, and that we can trust what he says. See, even when we don't understand, even when we can't see what he's doing or why things are happening the way they are. And so on this earth, in Revelation 21, it said, in heaven there'll be no tears. That means on this earth there will be. It says in Revelation 21, there will be no mourning. That means on this earth, there will be mourning. There will be weeping. There will be pain from wounds. But it's in those times of disappointment, when the unexpected divorce comes, when the unexpected pink slip from work comes, when the unexpected doctor's report comes and you're in pain and you don't understand what's happening. It's in those times where the rubber of our faith meets the road. This is where it counts. Do we believe what we have said about Jesus enough to actually put it into action so that it changes what we think, it changes the words coming out of our mouth, it changes the direction of our heart? Do we believe it, or are we just playing church? Are we just playing church? I'm not playing. I'm not playing. The last month, I have had to put what I have said all these years on the preaching team I've had little conversations with myself. I didn't stand in front of a mirror before doing it. But, I mean, I've had, now, Cammy, this is what you have preached. This is what God has said. Now, it's time to do it. It's time to put on my big girl pants and go to work and do it. I'm not going to wallow in this. I'm not going to demand an understanding. I'm not going to demand my questions be answered. I'm not going to demand to know what's coming in the future. I'm a planner. My husband knows I'm a planner. I love my yearly planner. I've already got it planned out. And when that just gets wiped away, when everything you thought was going to happen now is in question. I thought I was going to get old with him. We were going to raise, the next generation. We were going to step into revival. And we prayed. We believed. We extended our faith. We stuck our necks out. Up until the last song of that funeral service, I was waiting to see that box move and him to start saying, hey, let me out of here. God, did we not have enough faith? Did we not fast enough? Did we not pray enough? These are questions I don't know. But here's what I do know. God is still good. He is still in control. He has still called us to revival. We are still going to have a healing revival in this place. There will be wheelchairs and crutches hanging on those walls. We are not giving up. We are not stepping back. We are not going to get distracted. We're not going to get burned. We're not going to get bitter. None of that. And I am going to give on this altar. I'm going to lay all my questions. I'm going to lay all my not understanding. I'm going to lay all my future plans and the hopes and the dreams that I had, how I thought it was going to be, how it should have been, what could have, would have, should have been, all the ouldas. We're going to put all the ouldas on that altar and give a sacrifice of praise because he has not changed. My circumstances changed, my future changed, my thoughts, my beliefs, whatever changed, but he hasn't changed, and he's still worthy. We sang it this morning. Jeremy said it, like God was just setting this all up like a little ball on a tee for me to just. And so faith and trust in God has to be such a central core value. So much that it influences and directs our actions. so that in times of not understanding, in times of disappointment, confusion, insecurity, we can't see the future, our plans are wiped out, we've got pain, grief, mourning, loss, you name it, in those times, we can come before the Lord and turn our tear-filled, swollen eyes, our broken and bleeding heart towards Jesus and say, you are still worthy of it all. You are still worthy of it all. That is a sacrifice of praise. When it costs you something to still praise him. And we can only offer that up on this side of heaven. See, it says we enter into his courts with praise and into his gates with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, let joy be your continual feast. Let joy be your continual. See, don't let sorrow, disappointment, disrupted plans, don't let that be what you chew on all day, meaning what you think about, what you meditate on, what you worry about, those conversations that go on in your head. That's not what you turn and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Though there may be mourning for a night, joy comes in the morning. My morning is here. Not morning sadness, morning the sun rising. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you. See, notice it says give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, not for. In. What does in mean? Have you ever thought about that? What does in mean? Like we use these words and we don't really think about them. It's expressing the situation of something that is or appears to be enclosed or surrounded by something else. So when you appear to be surrounded by hopelessness, fear, loss, disappointment, when you're in that place, start giving him thanks because he hasn't changed. He has not changed. He's not changed by our world. We have to let our world be changed by him. Because he is still faithful. He is still loving. He is still forgiving. He is still strong and powerful. He is still our provider. He is still our deliverer. He is still our healer. And he has promised in Romans 8:28. So we are convinced. Convinced. Not thinking about, considering, wondering about, well, maybe let me see how this works out and then I'll decide which how I want to fall on this. We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purposes. It doesn't mean he's caused these circumstances. It means that no matter the circumstance, he can still win. He can still, it's like, I don't play poker. I don't know how to do poker. About the only card game I know is Old Maid, okay? Like, I don't know card games. But I know this, he can win with any hand. Think of the worst hand in poker and somehow he can still win with it. Like, he can win with any hand. And so why did this happen? I don't know. How will he make this good? I don't know. When will it get better? I don't know. But this is when I lay all these questions, all this hurt, all this pain, all this confusion on the altar and begin to praise him for who he is. I will give him thanks for who he is. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so when we begin to praise him, when we begin to give him thanks, when we begin to offer up our worship and our adoration, when we turn our hearts and our minds towards him, then it's his very presence that comes in. And there's everything that I need in that presence. Joy is in that presence. Peace is in his presence. Love is in his presence. Safety is in his presence. Security is in his presence. Assurity is in his presence. And so whatever you need, I'm not trying to speak a curse, but this is probably not the only time you'll be disappointed in your life. I mean, welcome to this world. I mean, you don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you. We have an enemy of our soul that hates us, and he loves nothing more than to, you know, disrupt us, attack us. I mean, the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And then, you know, sometimes, not me, but, I mean, you guys are probably not wise all the time, and you might make some wrong choices and then have to suffer some consequences of your choice you made. You know, and then there's other people in our lives, and sometimes we have to suffer consequences of the choices they make. And so this is something that you need, you know, like in a reference book, right? Google. Let's say you bookmark this page in your Google Chrome or Safari or whatever internet browser you use, because you're going to want to come back to it. Because the next time that something bubbles up and it just knocks you off your feet, shocks you, it's not what you were expecting, come back to this, because this is true. This is his word, and it's true all the time. We offer up a sacrifice of praise, and in that moment, he becomes all that we need. He becomes all that we need. And so Dan is going to play a song. I want us to respond to this. I mean, we stepped into praise and worship this morning. There was an anointing. And guess what? His presence was there. It's shocking. He does what he says he'll do. You know, so many times we humans, we don't always do what we... Well, y'all don't always do what you say you're going to do. But he does. And when we praise him, when we worship him, when we give him thanks, he says he will inhabit the praises of his people. And so he was here this morning. But in response to this specific word, I want us to praise him. I want us to thank him. And so, Dan, go ahead and play that song.